Amen. Amen. I have a, just as Paul's already shared, I have a small excerpt for you, but even though it's small, I do have a title, and the title is Experience in Substance Giving. And I just wanted to share that one of the experiences that I've encountered, and this is within my journey of substance giving, this experience has been hurt. And this hurt has been felt and seen in two manners. I've experienced hurt when I've heard to give a specific amount of my substance, but I thought that that specific amount would be for a bill that I had to pay. So it hurt to give it. But I knew there was a reason behind this hurt, so I pressed my way in giving. I've also experienced hurt because within this journey of substance giving, I've been seeing my reactions. I've been seeing how my soul has been tied to mammon. I'm seeing where my confidence has truly been. And it's hurt me to see how these things have been in me. But I was shown the reason for this hurt in one verse and in one definition. And when I saw why the hurt, I was then all right.
Let's go.
And that one verse came from Malachi 3:3. And this is where we were just on last Sunday. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi.
Yes, God.
And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The word purge there means to extract. And extract means to remove or take out, especially by effort or force. This is why it hurts. There are extractions being taking place within our substance giving. Things within us are being removed and taken out by force.
Yes, thank you.
And extractions are going to hurt. You see, we are as purged as silver is purged, and we are purged as gold is purged. Both silver and gold are put in hot, hot fire to extract the impurities that they may be pure. The hurt we feel and the hurt we see are the extractions being made for the purpose that we have no impurities.
Let's go.
We are being made as pure silver and pure gold to offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Amen, God.
So in conclusion, we are in a blessed position when we are being purged.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That is my excerpt for you.
Bless God.
God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God has been doing a number on anyone that has had their ear to this and that has actualized the message on how to really achieve the greatest level of peace with God. That is by releasing everything that we hold dear, things that we typically would say, I'm not letting go of because this is me. You and me are over here, God, but this is me. But those that have been embracing this, starting with our finances, it starts there. I'm going to be honest with you. When you begin to let go of that, you begin to let go of the root of all evil. But there has been such a purging, as Elder said. There's been such an extraction. My God, there's been, boy, if I have not been through it, my goodness. Listen, I'm to the point where God is beginning to extract things in reference to, let's say, fears. This is one extraction.
It's true.
A place of fear that I was holding on to so I can give excuse not to do something, or it would give me a reason why not to go. I was holding on to a fear. And I didn't know it, but in my substance giving, God has pried fear from out of my soul, so I can move forward and really, really, really move in a dimension that God wants me to, as concerning being an apostle to the entire body and not just to TGM.
Amen.
And God is extracting things, and it's happening as a result of substance giving. He extracted also out of me a place where I just was not really receiving who I really am in God. These type of extractions are taking place. Things that we've been kind of trusting in oppressive ways. So he's purging us so we can be pure as silver and gold. He really is doing it. And it's happening because we're releasing our substance. Mm-hmm. We're releasing our substance. Amen. We're giving ourselves away, like we learned last week. Yeah. We're giving ourselves away. That every seed we sow, we are tied with the seed. We are tied with the seed. I'm going to ask you, Elder Allison, not to stop the recording. Just let it go.
Amen.
Listen. God, don't be deceived here. Every time we sow a financial seed, we're sowing a part of ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
God is extracting. There is a purging going on. He's purifying us like silver. He's purifying us like gold. And I'm really beginning to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to enjoy it on a very high level. My eyes are open. My ears are so attentive. And my God, I'm telling you now, I'm not looking back. I'm not going back. I found the place of not only prosperity, not only the peace of God here, but I'm finding my soul's salvation here. And it is awesome. It is awesome. It really is the highest level of peace that we can come to. And then we're becoming one in this. And the spirit of chaos wants to run Rashad over all that we're learning so that we don't come into a place in position of oneness.
It's true.
So that we don't begin to experience our God like this. But you got to be somebody that puts the shoulder down and fights through the mayhem and the chaos. Mm-hmm. Because if we're coming into the international tranquility, it's the place where riots cease. It's the place where chaos is no more. It's the place where we become totally triumphant. You've got to be willing to put your shoulder down and say, you know what? No weapon. I'm not stopping. I don't care what you send my way. I'm going to let God extract what he needs to. And I'm going to give my entire being over to him. As it should have been from the beginning. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and just keep flowing right into today's message. I'm excited about today's message in particular, because it really, really is going to shake some things loose. It's going to give us even more victory. It's going to solidify us, ground of Adam. About to change the curse ground of Adam, that ground that would bring forth thorns and thistles, and you'd have to struggle to make ends meet through thorns and thistles. God is about to, he's about to smooth out your ground today. Substance giving, the title is Substance Giving, not only makes us one, but it changes our ground. No more thorns. No more thorns. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to say this twice. I Kurt prayed a prayer and had utterance in a prayer that Kurt has. And it's real simple. He said, less work, more pay. That's Kurt's utterance. He wants to have less work and more pay. Well, that utterance, that simple utterance, is exactly the will of God for all of our lives. It is the will of God for all of our lives. Less work and more pay.
Amen.
Well, the reason why we don't walk in that is because of the ground. The ground that we've been walking on has been still the curse of Adam. You say, but I'm in Christ. Yeah, in a sense you might be. But the ground you're walking on is still that of Adam, and you're going to see why. Romans 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, wherefore, as by one man's sin, and by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had listened. It reigned even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, meaning Christ. Death here is not just speaking of passing away, because God told Adam and Eve that in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. We don't see a physical death, but there was a death. They died from the place of God's supernatural provisions. They had died to the place of less work. In fact, let me be, even take it further, no work and all pay.
True.
That day died for them. And so the death that we're all suffering is exactly that, laboring through thorns. In the book of Genesis, we see it like this. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent, let me just say, and Satan said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, Jesus, that's our key word for today. When the woman saw that the tree was good for evil, good for the food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, the word saw here, if you're following on the screen, you see my notes. The word saw means advise self. It means approve. It means have experience, have vision, make to enjoy. Keep this in mind. The enemy caused Eve to see. And in seeing, she advised herself. She was hearing him. She was definitely hearing him too. But if she never saw, she never would have taken of that fruit. Because it's in our seeing that we begin to advise ourselves. We envision a thing before we do a thing. We sign off on it because of what we begin to see within our vision. Then we have an experience with it. And then we're made to enjoy the very thing that we think we saw or that we did see. Now that works in both ways. It works two ways now, good and evil. Keep that in mind. So we got to note that when Eve saw the tree was good for food, the word good, it actually translates to the word prosperity. Watch this now. Satan would launch his plan right here. when Eve saw, now Eve, what Eve saw was prosperity. It was actually considered prosperity. It was, why was it prosperity? Because it was increase in an area that she did not have access to. Jesus. So it became prosperity under her. Satan now had a plan, which we've learned about over the last few weeks, that he would sit on the in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, that he would sit on our substance, or he would become controller of our prosperity. He would control us through our prosperity, either through abundance or through lack. Either way, he was deciding, I'm going to make sure they never connect fully with God, because I will control how they view prosperity. Mm-hmm. He now would begin to taint and sit on the thigh. This is where his plan was first executed. It was executed through the eyes of Eve and Adam, because Adam was there. He was right next to Eve. She didn't have to go find him. He was standing right there, hearing everything.
Amen.
The Bible says her husband with her. And he did eat. He was with her. So he's sitting there, not saying a word, while Satan's saying all of this. That's why Eve was not the only one to get in trouble. She didn't come to Adam and trick him with a piece of fruit that he didn't know he was eating. He was standing right there, but said nothing in contrary to what Satan was saying to Eve. Somebody say amen if you can hear me.
Amen. Amen.
So now the curse of Adam starts to set in. All right? When Adam fell, it was by one man's sin that would lead to many into sin. So they saw that the tree was different, a different realm of prosperity. And they coveted that. And they went for it. So when Adam fell, his success was to now come through thorns and thistles. It was now going to be through thorns. Remember what the Bible says, through thorns and thistles. He would now labor through those things. That's what the ground would start to bring up. God told Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. You'll bring forth and you'll supply for your family through thorns and through thistles. My God. It's more than what you think, the thorns there. It's way more. It's way more. And I didn't think it necessary to really bring up the scripture, because everybody knows that Adam's ground was cursed with thorns and thistles. But if you want to read it on your own time, you're more than welcome to.
Amen.
Right, watch this now. Watch this here. Watch this. The curse really wasn't, the Lord began to open my eyes big time. Because prior to reading this, he already opened my eyes over in Mark 4 on what thorns really were. Now, the ground was cursed with it, but the true curse of the ground wasn't the hardship of labor only. In fact, that wasn't even really the majority of the curse. But what this did was, listen to me now, it created a negative condition in the mind. It created a condition that would say, I did this, I earned this. See, the labor through thorns and thistles, you take ownership of whatever success you get. Or even, you even take ownership for the lack of success because of the hardship through thorns. So now you take success, you take ownership in success, in abundance, and you own the fact that even if you're moving and it's not enough to make ends meet, you take ownership. So now substance giving becomes a very difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
The true curse of the thorn that's there is the fact that you're out laboring and you're hard laboring and you're trying to get it. So anything you get, you're saying, I did this. You're not seeing God anymore. You're seeing how you work through the thorns.
Wow.
We don't see God because of the hard labor through thorns. This has created a soul tie. Listen, it's created a soul tie with our substance.
Yes.
I did this. I work like this. You may not be consciously saying that, but there's a connection saying.
Yes, there is.
Sometimes you do say. You tell people, don't count what's in my pockets. I went to work for this. You say things like, no, I worked overtime. I deserve to do this for myself.
Yes. Yes.
I deserve to go out there and hang out and do this. I deserve to go buy me this, or I deserve to buy me that. I earned this.
Yes.
A soul tie is created. The real curse of the ground of Adam was the tie that would come to our substance because of it being now earning through our own works. Or so we think. Mark 4 says it like this, everybody. Watch this. In Mark 4, verses 18 and 19, it says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." I never really looked at the word thorns this deeply, but I did. And this is still coming from your Strong's. And I'm glad God saved this definition for such a time like this. The word thorns in the Greek, and you'll see this word right next to it, it's acme. The word acme means the point at which someone or something is best, perfect, or most successful. Most successful. The word thorns actually points to our success. It points, a thorn is your success. Your success. Keyword, your. It's the point where someone, doesn't say God, it's the point at which someone or something is best. See, you can be at your best in the wrong situation. You can be at your best in a wrong relationship. You can feel the height of success in anything in your substance that's not God has no access to. This is your acme, the point where you have succeeded. So now you, these thorns, your success, look at what happens. Listen, look, watch what happens. It creates cares of this world.
Yes.
Your acme, your success. It develops a deceitfulness of the riches. And that's not just talking about money. Anything that you're succeeding in, you deceive yourself within it. It creates lust of other things because you think you're tied to your success. You attribute yourself. You with your mouth may say, "I thank you, God," but unless you're a substance giver unto God, you're really not telling the truth. You're really not telling the truth. You may say with your mouth, but the fact that you won't release the very thing that you're holding to, the very success that you have, whether it be in relationship, whether it be finance, I don't care what it is, anything you got on your own without God,
Jesus, is
acme. It's a thorn. Anything. The Bible says acknowledge him in all your ways. When there's no acknowledgement of God. And I'm going to say this early in the message. Dealing with finance, I realized something very important. That's the purpose of giving our first fruit and tithes. That's the first dimensions of honor with substance. I realize that now. That's my acknowledgement. This was not me earning my way, though I was out. It was still God giving me ingenuity. It was still God giving me strength. It was still God right there giving me breath in my body. I attribute even this unto him.
Jesus.
The point at which someone or something reaches a place of success is a thorn. You reach it on your own. You see, Mark 4 is speaking of thorns growing up. And what happens eventually, the word in you gets choked because of the fact that you are still soul tied to the substance because you're working on Adam's ground and you're not working on the ground of Christ. The ground of Christ is give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You're going to topple your enemy, and then I'm going to increase you. That's the ground we work on in the kingdom. Give and it shall be given. That's the ground of Christ. Where now the ground, listen, the Bible teaches us in Mark 4 very plainly, the earth does it by itself. My God, it acts alone. Jesus. The only thing I need to do is put the seed in there and this thing will develop. It's not,
hallelujah. Yes,
it's not coming. I'm not going to have an acne place. I'm going to give and it shall be given.
Hallelujah, God.
See, I'm not moving on the ground of Adam any longer. So Mark 4 is talking about these thorns. See, when I do labor on the ground of Adam, my tie to what I got is strong. The tie to it. Jesus. So therefore, the honor is not there. I don't kabod the Lord like I should. Because only thing I saw is how I had to move through thorns. You see, when we think we achieve things without God, we take full ownership of that success. Again, this doesn't just go for money. It goes for anything and everything we do without him. This is because we so often keep living under the curse of Adam. I'm telling you, we should be living under the freedom and glory of Christ Jesus. Who is the last Adam? All right? He's the last Adam, which we'll look at in just a moment. The thorn really is the thought of succeeding without God. It's having a notion that you did it by yourself. That is the real thorn. And that's why cares develop. Because you don't see God as your source. So now cares develop. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things develop what? Because you can't see God through the thorns. You only see what you were able to achieve.
Wow, God.
That's the curse that Adam was under. That's the curse. It wasn't just eating bread through the sweat of his brow. No, the real curse is being without God and not seeing God, not seeing God, not seeing God. The real curse is not having a vision of God. That's the curse. So now basically you've become an island. You're the one making your way because you're still moving on Adam's cursed ground. If you can't see to give substance unto the Lord, if you can't see, I heard this word for you, Elder Allison, just now. The pain that you feel are the thorns being pulled out of you. Ah, yes, Lord. The pain that you feel when it becomes a challenge, but you obey. God told me to tell you just now, those are the thorns being pulled up out of you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Christ God.
Oh, let him pull him out. Let him pull him out. Let him pull him out. Look at this. What did Jesus have on his head on the cross? The Lord is really ministering. He had a crown of thorns. The blood is on the ground, people of God. The blood is on the curse of Adam. He had a crown of thorns. They thought it was a joke putting a crown, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. Well, God said, well, let me prophetically tell you what that means. The curse of Adam has been destroyed. The blood of Jesus is all over the thorn grounds. No longer will you have to labor through thorns and thistles. The curse is broken. That was hot off the press just now. Somebody should be blessing God for that.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.
So now, there's an imbalance, though, guys. There's an imbalance. So what we see here, what we see is the thorn really is becoming the thought of succeeding without God. And that's what has created, like the Lord said, lust and deceitfulness of riches. It's created cares because we're seeing only what we've been able to do. And so in essence, we keep ourselves before God. We won't put God before us because we've been taking ownership over this. In the book of Proverbs, this is the imbalance that thorns, that earning through thorns causes. This is the imbalance of having the acmes in the places that we deem ourselves successful. Again, not just in finance, but in anything that we have done or are doing without God's endorsement. Watch this. Proverbs 20 and 12 says this: the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. This is old story, but let's look at this now in a new light. The word even both we know means coupled. So they work together. They work together. But I saw something I've never really seen yet again. All right. The hearing ear means where this is the place in our hearing we begin to consider. All right. And in our hearing, we also give consent, because many of us, help us Jesus right now, say amen with our hearing. You know I'm telling the truth. We give consent to what we've heard, but because the seeing eye doesn't come into it like it did with Eve. Eve was considering what the devil was saying. She was giving consent in her mind. But when Satan turned on the seeing eye, this is where it happens right here. This is the two means the number of witness. When this is the problem, it works both positively and it works in a negative way. It works in a positive and negative way. The seeing eye comes in, and when the eye begins to see it, it begins to advise self. Just like with Eve, when she saw, she began to advise herself. She then approved. This is where approval comes in. Discernment kicks in here with the seeing eye when you are beginning to visualize the very thing you're hearing. It also does mean to have vision. All right? Right? It means to have vision, and it also means here to experience. This is when you begin to experience it, and then from the experience you are made to enjoy what you're experiencing. This takes place with the seeing eye. With all that, you see the experience. You see what I'm trying to say is you see the results, and in your mind, you already begin to enjoy it. So this is how you actualize. You begin with the hearing ear, and the seeing eye comes and meets it, and then you walk it out. Then you walk it out.
Amen.
See, what am I saying? Many of you have been listening to the messages on substance giving, on releasing everything that God has not endorsed for your life, and everything that you're trying to hold on to in your life, and not giving over to God, that you're not willing to part with God. All right. So now you've been listen. You've been hearing it, but you cannot make the next step in doing it because you can't see it because you're still looking through thorns.
Jesus.
So hearing becomes dull if you can't see what you're hearing. You're never going to walk it out. That's why Eve was able to walk it out and fall the way she did, and Adam, her husband, that was with her. Why? Because they didn't just hear Satan. They saw what Satan was saying. So they brought the two together, and manifestation came.
Jesus.
Thorns, listen to me, people of God. The thorns, the hard, the place where we feel we did it and that we put it together, choke our seeing. And when this happens, we hold on to those cares, lust, and those deceitful riches. Heads, instead of functioning through good ground, we live life and function through the same cursed ground of the first Adam. And we stay separated. There's no real joining unto God. There's no real coming together. There's no real elevation. Because of our substance being in the way. You got to be willing to allow God to remove those things.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Let's go further. We hear with our ears, but we don't see with our eyes. This is why the witness of God, remember, number two means witness. The witness of God concerning substance giving doesn't actualize. You're hearing it, but those doggone thorns are blocking your vision. You're so tied to what you have. You're so tied. Sorry about this, Elder. We work every day, so I kind of we kind of testify of the things in our lives. So I use you as an example more times than not, because we are always in this word due to the fact that we own business, our business together. Listen, when you had said to me, she's a collector of stones. She likes different stones and minerals and things of that nature. She has all the stones and stuff that she collects. She was looking at the stone, her collection, and she said she felt kind of heavy because she didn't know if she could part with those things if God had called her to. But as she sat there looking at her stone, at her collection, she began to say, it has to go. If he wants it to go, it has to. And she's sitting there actualizing with her eyes, not her ears. And she was able to release them within herself by what she was seeing.
That's God.
She was looking at,
hallelujah, Jesus,
something that she holds very dear.
Hallelujah, God.
And at first she was saying, I can't. But as she continued to look at, her vision changed. And then she could.
Hallelujah, Lord.
See, the thorns, because she earned that money to buy those things. Those are extra things in life. Those are not necessities, but that's the extra. Now you're getting into my own space here, God. What are you thinking here? I bought these. These are what I collected. I saw them. I worked for them. I bought them. See, thorns block the vision. Because you think you did it. But somebody say to the person, if you got a person next to you, say, but keep on looking. God's going to change your vision after a while. You see, without the two being in balance, you wrestle and fight with the facts. You may say amen with your ears and consent to the truth, but your eyes refuse to see yourself letting go. I'll say that again. You may consent with your ears, but your eyes still refuse to see yourself letting go. This is why we hold on to substance, people. Your own success and achievements without God become your thorns that choke vision. And without a vision, people do perish. With the ear, we begin to consider, but with the seeing eye added, we begin to experience it. Hallelujah. I see myself giving the seed that God said to give. I hear it with my ear, but then I see myself getting on my phone, going into one of my cash apps or bank accounts or what have you, and going in and releasing it. I see it before I do it, and it's actualized. Why? Because I'm no longer moving through thorns. Thorns are not blocking my vision. So God can say it and I consent with it. Then my eyes see myself doing it and I release it unto the Lord. Even Satan understood how he had to open Eve's eyes for her to experience the results he was trying to give her.
Yeah.
Now listen to the Lord. Now God is wanting to do the same in reverse for us, so that we can see his results. Jesus. All right, here we go. Here's another old story. Hearing and seeing are both necessary for the witness of God to actualize. They both have a voice. It says in Exodus chapter 4, and I'm almost done, guys. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. It says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. They're not going to listen to me, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Don't lose me now, because this is going to take you to the next level. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. You see, seeing is another voice. Seeing is the second witness that will bring you into a dimension of believing Jesus. Somebody say, these thorns got to go. These thorns have got to go. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon my mind, and pour it upon the dry land. He tried to give him a third one. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So God was saying, here's another one. But we're going to get them to believe that I sent you to deliver them, because they've got to hear you and they've got to see you. They've got to hear and they've got to see. When they bring their hearing and seeing together, they'll follow you out of Egypt. So God was making sure that they could see, because the two working together is what makes it, it makes it actual, it actualizes it. It really does. We hear the voice of the first sign. Listen, we hear the voice of the first sign with our ears, but the thorns block the voice of the second sign. We can't see, my God. And this is why we're not experiencing God on the level that he's calling us to. Why? Because these thorns are blocking our vision. You need to know you're not getting your own success. Let me just cut to the chase and try to help somebody out. You're not the one doing this. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that is causing whatever's happening in your life to happen. We can't see it because of hardships or the manner in which we achieve something without God. Again, this doesn't just pertain to wealth or money. It pertains to anything you hold dear, anything you value that you know within yourself that you won't part with. So now we need these two signs to come together. We need the thorns out of the way. We need the thorns from off the ground. We do not labor in the ground of Adam any longer. You need to know that. It's not by power nor by might. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And you need to know that. We look at Moses as an example to this very fact. In the same exact, in the same chapter, picking up at the very next verse, Moses becomes an example of this truth. He becomes an example of this rhema that we're getting. Never saw this before, but this is powerful. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron, the Levite, thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall say, what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he, excuse me, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. What in the world happened here? I'll tell you what happened. The very thing that we're teaching on, Moses did. Because Moses had a speech impediment, he stuttered. He had to labor, listen to the word now, he had to labor in conversation. The laboring in conversation blocked his vision on the fact that God could become his source and heal him of his speech impediment. He couldn't see through the thorns of his own labor in conversation. And that angered God. My goodness, somebody better hear this. When you can't see that God is your source.
Wow.
God has been showing you in different ways in all your life. He's been showing you in areas that he's fixed for you, areas that he's brought you out of trouble, areas that he's took you over and got you out of this mess or that mess. But now when it comes to giving your substance, you want to act like God can't deliver you. This is what Moses just did. God just showed him three different miracles that he would perform so that the children of Israel could believe. But Moses here, having to labor with his own conversation, can't believe God can heal him.
Jesus.
Wow.
Because he labored in conversation. That labor became a thorn he couldn't see past his own labor.
Yeah.
God's wrath was kindled against Moses. How do you think he feels that you take him as God in every area of your life, but when it comes to you seeing him blessing you because you honor him with your substance, you forget what he did for you? God was like, man, I'm trying to heal you. You missed your blessing and you missed your harvest. I was about to deliver you from your own speech impediment. I just showed you. I told you to throw your rod on the ground and it became a snake. I told you to pick it back up again. It became a rod. I told you to tuck your hand in your jacket. And you did. I told you to bring it out and it became white as leprosy. Leprosy had filled your hand. I told you to put it back and bring it out again. And it was just like the other hand. It was normal. Now, you mean to tell me I can't fix your mouth? God said, who has made the mouth of man? It's like, what are you talking about? But Moses couldn't see because he had a speech impediment. Conversating was hard work. He took ownership of his own problem, but couldn't see because of the thorn. Because of the labor. Jesus. So bottom line is, we see God move. We see him move.
And stop.
We watch him move. See, I'll tell you what you do and what we do. We are some hypocrites. I'll tell you that right now. We have been hypocrites. When we can't labor for something, we rely on God. But when we can labor for something, we make ourselves God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, it's past me. I can't do this. I can't heal myself. I can't get my wife or my, I can't get my daughter. I can't get myself. I go to God for this. And I stretch out to God. But oh, if I can get it done, I'm going to do it. And I'll become God. I'll honor myself for my hard work.
Jesus,
all right. He trusted in his oppression and wanted to get things done another way, is what Moses did. He wanted someone else to speak for God. He missed his breakthrough. He missed his harvest. How many signs do you need or do I need to hear or see? God wants to truly become our source. Don't be like Moses in this instant. Don't be blinded by your thorns, by your success, or lack thereof. Don't be blinded by your success or your lack thereof. Because even in your lack thereof, you still see yourself making ends meet.
Yep, that's true.
All right, let's get rid of these things once and for all. Okay, Elder Don, you've been waiting for this. It says here, but I say, it's very simple, people of God, but I say, walk, this is Galatians 5 and 16 in the Amplified Classic. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. I'm going to read it again, but I say, walk, I'm going to change a word here. Walk and live habitually in the Rhema word. Because that's where the Holy Spirit is found, in the Rhema word. Walk and live in the Rhema word, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Rhema word. Just do what the Rhema is saying to do. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. In other words, you won't have thorns. Because nothing's being gratified. Nothing's being gratified. Your human nature is not being gratified. God is being seen because you're doing what the Rhema is telling you to do. So any gratification without God is success through thorns. This is where we get stuck. This blocks our oneness. It also keeps us on the cursed ground of Adam. Like I said, I like Kurt's prayer. He got an utterance that says, less work and more pay. It's exactly the ground we belong on. The ground that yields supernaturally because of being perfectly joined unto the Father. No more thorns. No more thorns. Simply acknowledge God. That's where tithes and first fruits come in. That's where it all, that right there, they are first, the first steps of honor. Honoring with our substance will follow that. The meaning everything we have will, it'll follow because we have an acknowledgement to God.
Amen.
We're walking in this Rhema word and we're acknowledging God, please stop seeing yourself. No more thorns. Romans 5, 18 through 21, and I am finished. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Talking about Adam when he fell. So by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And grace is on the line. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The cursed ground of Adam is destroyed. It's finished. It is no more. It is no more. You're free, praise God. You're free. You're free. Only thing you need to do is begin to acknowledge God right where you stand. Acknowledge God right where you are. Acknowledge him. Honor him. Stop being soul tied to your substance. Stop it. Don't be as Moses. He thought because he labored so hard with his mouth, he couldn't see. He couldn't see that God, the God that just did those things, could heal him. Come on. Think of one thing that God has done for you that you know you couldn't do for yourself. Take a moment. Think about one thing that God did for you that you could not do for yourself. All right. Now, as you take that, translate that over to your substance. Translate the fact that God did this and know that he can do it if you honor him with your substance. Get rid of that thorn. God is your source. Just walk in the Rhema word. Just begin to do it. Begin to walk in obedience of releasing, getting rid of and breaking the soul tie and being perfectly joined unto the Father. Let him elevate you in peace. Glory be to God. Let him fully propitiate your mind. Mm-hmm. Jesus. The Lord showed me something the other day, and I mentioned it at a funeral that I had to preach on Saturday, and it came up in my spirit, and it's coming up in my spirit again. Stop making a truce with the devil to have a pseudo peace over your life. Stop making the truce. There is no truce here. We're going to walk in the word of God and run right over the enemy. We're not making a truce here. That finding, I do this, and then I get God over here, and I have this over there, but then I have God over here. No, we're not making that kind of truce there, because that truce will drag you straight to hell. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. No. The Bible is calling us honor God with our substance and with the first fruit of all of our increase. Why? It's not because God just wants to fill your barns with plenty. God is looking to be perfectly joined unto you. He wants you in perfect peace. The shalom, shalom. The shalom and the shalva moving in your life. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you.
My Lord, my God. A few comments here that came in during the message. Elder Allison says, wow, wow, wow. Remove all the thorns. Evangelist Darrell says, powerful. Kurt says, amen. And Elder Donna says, remove all the thorns, Lord God. And I say, amen. Get rid of them. Well, Master, right now, I'm asking right this very moment that for any hearer that heard, let them now see. Let them see. Because what I discover is in Rhema, you let me hear and then I see. I can see it. Help them to actualize them releasing their substance, whatever it is that they hold dear. Let them hand it over to you in the spirit of their minds. Let them see themselves. And then what you always show in the quickening, Lord, is the results of doing it. Help them to see the results and begin to internally enjoy those results. Because that which is working on the inside is going to come to the outside. It will be proven. It will be proven. But those that had hearing ears, those that gave consent with their ears, let them now, Holy Spirit, let them see. Let them see the life that they're going to live as a result of not being tied to anything but the Father. Let them experience it now. Lift your hands if you're under the sound of my voice. Let them, there's an anointing moving. Let them begin to experience it even now. Stuff that they shouldn't be holding on to. Let them get a sense of life without it. Let them begin to imbibe it. Now let them begin to enjoy the fruit that comes as a result of giving their substance. Let them experience it even now. The release that they're feeling even right now, the untying of a soul tie, Lord God, that was connected in their substance. Let them experience what it feels, the liberty they will have. Let them feel it now. Because, Father, if they feel it, they'll be able to release it. If they see it, Father, they'll be able to release the substance. Oh, my God, there's a free fall in the spirit right now. Well, that's an old story, Rhema. There's a free fall in the spirit. You can lean back and fall, and God is going to catch you right now in the spirit. That you can lean back and fall. You can say, hey, okay, I'm going to release. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. God is going to catch you God is going to sustain you. God is going to be your shield. He's going to be your buckler. He's going to provide for you. Just go ahead and free fall in him right now. And you don't have to hold it. You're safe in his arms. You're safe in his word. You've been struggling to make ends meet. This is a word for someone. You've been struggling to make ends meet. It's been nothing but hardship and headache. This is for somebody in particular. It has been rough. My God, it's been rough. That's because you're laboring on the ground of Adam. God said, trust me. Let me clear the ground for you. And let me cause it to do what I told it to do in the beginning of time. Act upon itself and produce in your life.
Hallelujah, God.
No more thorns and thistles in your way. Trust me. I hear the Lord say this, and I am not saying this to provoke an offering. Whoever's hearing that word, there's an offering God wants you to give. There's an offering God wants you to give to step into it. There's an offering. There's a financial seed that God wants you to give so you can step into this dimension. It's a seed of trust. Sow it right there. Ah, glory be to God. He's moving thorns out of your way. He's creating an abounding wind that's going to cause you to really harvest. And only live your life in harvest. He's breaking the bonds of fear. He's breaking the bonds of fear. And he's breaking the bonds of debt, lack, not enough. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. There's a doorway open. There's a door that just opened. There's a door that just opened, my God. There's a door that just opened. Never have you thought that in your giving, you'd find your release. You always thought that you had to get it done your way. No, God is saying, no. We're going to do it my way. Give and it shall be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. You'll dethrone the enemy that's been sitting on you. You'll dethrone what's been stopping you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I'll cause it to run over. And I will cause men to give unto you. Ooh, glory be to God. I'll set you at one. As a part of the body of Jesus Christ, I'll set you as one. Thorns being removed. The acmes of your life are being lifted. Now you can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt and honor God because you see him again. Thorns are not blocking your vision. It's been you, oh Lord, all this time. It truly has been you, oh Lord, all this time. I couldn't see.
I never could see.
But now my eyes are open. I speak to hasty feet that are wanting to move up before time. Slow down. Sit still. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Yes, Master. Yes, Master. Yes.
Jesus.
Yes, Master. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He's shutting the doors to all of the acmes in your life. He's shutting the doors to all the places of where you felt you achieved. He's shutting the doors. And he's opening your eyes to know it was him. It was him. Promotion only comes from the Lord. You didn't gain it. It was him. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 I'm finished right there. If you're going to give, you can give your seed. You know how to do it via Cash App.